This is Chester Balloonman speaking for Porter Brothers, makers of Haven cigarettes, the only brand with the smooth flavor that even the freeze police can't ignore. It's Haven, a city of flavor. Well, it's Tuesday night again, time for another pleasant visit with your favorite bumbling comedians by day and crime-fighting super sleuths by night, the System Masters. With special guests Frank Sinatra and the Afterthought Orchestra. Now let's check in on how our boys are doing. When last we left John and Jeff, a dastardly plot had been uncovered to steal the president's prized possession, his diamond dice. It's up to these two gumshoes to pick up the slack. There's no case too big, no case too small. If you need help, just call Jeff and John, System Masters.
We can't let those nefarious Nazis nick those number rollers. If we don't catch those cads soon, they'll be on the next U-boat to Sprechenhalterstell with the diamond dice.
Golly, how are we going to get to their secret hideout? It's under the local cheese, fellas, but only children and mascots have free run of the place there. They'd see us coming for sure.
If only there was some way we could warn them without possibly getting someone hurt. I hate to see such a fine family restaurant, like Cheesefellas, now with locations across America, be associated with such fiends. Because no matter what you may have heard, Cheesefellas is definitely not secretly run by lizard people sympathetic to the Axis.
I think I got an idea. I could dress up as one of their mascots. I've got an old hot dog costume from last Halloween, and you should still have that little girl outfit from when we needed to infiltrate that orphanage of singing and dancing children.
That may be the dumbest thing I've ever heard you say, and I once heard you say you didn't like the cool, smooth flavor of Haven cigarettes. Why, only a dummy wouldn't want to take a trip to Haven, a city of flavor.
Say, that gives me an idea.
Not again. Last time we used your idea, I ended up almost getting adopted from that orphanage.
Say now, this time it's a real humdinger of a doozy. We can smoke them out with Haven cigarettes.
Say, that just might work. Not even Nazis can resist Haven's fantastic, flavorful blend of tobacco, nicotine, tar, and ammonia. We can find them at any local convenience store, and the price is just as refreshing as the taste. Those would-be thieves won't know what hit them.
Looks like the boys are finally onto a hot idea where they can stop those dastardly no-goodniks once and for all. But will the plan work? The only way to find out is to tune in next time for Jeff and John, the System Masters. This is Chester Balloonman for Haven Cigarettes. And be sure to listen to all of Haven's other programming, including Movie Masters and, for the kids, Wowzers the Talking Dog. Good night, everyone.
Honestly, that's not a terrible name for a fake beer. The Mannheim Steamroller. I mean, if you were to tell me that you were going to go get a case of Mannheim Steamrollers to drink, and I did not know about the band that makes, like, techno-y Christmas songs,
yeah,
I'd be like, yeah, I believe you. That makes perfect sense to me.
Oh, yeah. I'd be like, look, it's a great Hefeweizen. I'm going to get some Mannheim Steamroller. It's their holiday edition.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little picture of a cartoon steamroller on every bottle. It just makes perfect sense.
Yeah, totally. I would buy that.
Yeah, me too. Anyway, welcome to Afterthought, the companion podcast to System Mastery, where every other week we get together to discuss topics of interest to no one, and then answer questions of interest to only the person who asked them, and us.
Yes. Sometimes not even us.
Yeah, usually not even us.
Sometimes not even the person that asked them.
No, I'm sure they just tossed it off at random while sleeping.
Yeah, they woke up and they're like, oh man, how drunk was I? Had a little too many Mannheims last night.
I got so high on cocaine that I accidentally designed 5 new restaurants and sent Afterthought a question.
That's what happens. That's what happens when you get a little steamroller. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, if you have a few too many Mannheim steamrollers, that gets you.
Yeah.
That's, I believe they call that in the technical term, because it would make sense to call it this, Mannheimed. Man, see, I got completely Mannheimed last night.
See, I think you would be steamrollered.
Yeah, so do I. I just wanted to be funny.
Yeah, but you fail at it every time.
Oh, that's so mean.
You son of a bitch.
God damn it. All right, well, anyway, as always, I look to John to tell me what we reviewed last week, because I have no idea.
It was the classic Bunnies and Burrows.
Holy shit, that's right. From 1976, the RPG written by two zoologists, Bunnies and Burrows.
Yep, the weird game where they kind of thought about things they wanted to do, but not enough.
Yeah, they had that four-axis saving throw chart that was also the defense matrix for the game.
Yeah.
Ooh, boy, that was rough. It was, for a game that was only like 40 pages long, being generous and including the covers, that was a tough one.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. Which means that the topic of discussion for this week, before we get to any of the listener questions, I wanted to have a little brief conversation on games that try to be about something outside the normal genres.
Oh, sure. Yeah, okay.
I mean, we've talked about like comedy and things like that, but even then, they still have your basic adventure ideas.
Well, normally, because a comedy game tends to be a send-up of the genre, which means that they still have to play the they have to use the tropes. They have to put in the trappings. So, you know, you have your, like, comedy games like Hackmaster or Tales from the Floating Vagabond, which are, you know, are interesting and fun, but most of the genre tropes have to still be there. You have to be able to play as a dwarf.
Oh, yeah. You have to be able to make fun of the fact that this happens. And then, yeah, of course, any of the weirder ones, I mean, even if you look at something like Noumenon,
I was just
probably
thinking
the
about
weirdest
Noumenon.
One that we've done.
Yeah.
It's still something where it's so crazy and weird, but the whole point is you're still going on these adventures.
Yeah.
But with the Bunnies and Burrows, it was like, yeah, you're just a rabbit, man. Just fucking be a rabbit.
Yeah, about every 10 minutes, something terrible happens to a rabbit, so
yeah,
that's the point of this game.
It's going to suck to be you for a while.
Find out randomly what terrible thing is going to happen to you, you little rabbit. Also, you have magic healing powers.
Yeah, and that was the weirdest bit to me in that, is it tried so hard to be like, this is just Rabbit Simulator. If this had came out this year, it would be on Steam, it would be from Germany, and it would be called Rabbit Simulator 2016.
Yeah, if it had come out 15 years ago, it would have been from Firaxis or whatever it was that made all those Sim games.
Oh yeah, it would have been Sim Rabbit.
Sim Rabbit, and you could play as a rabbit and avoid the other color of rabbit, and you had to like, ooh, never mind, that's not a racist. No, play as the rabbit, and you could like set its hunger levels, and it had to collect green pellets and bring them back to its nest.
Oh, yeah, you'd have like a burrow rating, and it would be, oh, you've saved this much food, and you have this many offspring.
Yeah, and if the game was made 25 years ago, you'd be playing as an R, and every time you moved, everything else on the map would also move.
And if this was made 40 years ago, it would be Bunnies and Burrows.
Yeah, and if it was made 50 years ago, I don't even know. Anyway. So, okay, you're thinking this is a really unusual one because it actually throws out the general concept of going on adventures.
Yeah, it does have a few things where it's like, okay, maybe as a rabbit you want to go on like a raid of someone else's burrow, but it's still just you're going to go get some women folk and then go back and then hump them. And it was sort of split on how it wanted to do it. Like I said, it was very much, oh, yeah, maybe your adventure is you go look for lettuce and eat some lettuce.
Yeah, there was one section that was like, there might be a haunted cave, or at least some of the older bunnies say it's haunted. Will you go and investigate?
And the answer is no, of course not. I'm a rabbit.
I don't know. Maybe you're the curious rabbit of the forest, and you're
the
like, yeah, I gotta know.
Curious little rabbit.
Yeah, you're playing as a rabbit that there's a song about.
Yeah, you're Curious George, the curious little rabbit.
Oh, I like the little going up at the end there. That's very Nicktoons. Or like, what do you call that one for kids? The Nick Jr.?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, that is some soporific TV. If you're ever like stuck in a hotel room for a couple of days and you need to watch something to make you fall asleep because you woke up at going to work time and you don't have to go to work, just flip to Nicktoons. Because it's going to be like some bald kid being like, I learned about lessons. Lessons.
Yay.
I learned
lessons about Spider-Man.
It's a J.K. Simmons kind of day.
That's what we're doing here. Okay. So yeah, no, that was my thing, is would it have been able to work if they had taken away the whole like little things that they threw in there, like the haunted cave or you have empathic healing. Like, they just kept randomly throwing things in there that felt like it was just there to try and appeal to D&D.
Well, yeah, because they absolutely were. I mean, you still rolled 3d6 for your stats, for the love of God. You know, they
even
didn't...
then, those didn't do anything. Like, they just threw it in there because D&D was a thing, and they're like, well, we understand that everyone rolls 3d6 for their stats, so we'll do that and then have it not matter.
I really need to get us a copy of the only other RPG from that era, Tekamel, the Empire of the Petal Throne.
Yeah.
Just so we can find out if it also uses 3d6 for stats. I'm not going to research it because that goes against everything I stand for.
Oh, yeah. That is 100% against the rules. I would get thrown out of the podcast if I did that.
Yeah, it's in the bylaws.
Yeah.
I can't get thrown out of the podcast, of course, because I'm the emperor, but I will go down with the podcast in the case that John leaves.
Yes.
Yeah.
He'll sit there and play it off.
Pull up a violin to my neck and then realize I don't know how to play it and then drown. That'll be me. So can you think of any other games that are like this? Role-playing games that straight up do not follow the rules of role-playing games?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think Numenon is probably the closest we've gotten where it doesn't want you to do the baseline version of a role-playing game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, most games just adhere very strongly to that you need to go on an adventure, there's a thing you do, even if it's more like, oh, it's political intrigue, or if it's like you need to convince someone of doing something in your town or whatever it happens to be, it's still a very episodic drama thing.
Well, the one that gets to me, because I thought it was so funny that it turned it into an episodic going on an adventure storyline, is the one of the White Wolf games we've covered, Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Because Street Fighter is a game about Ryu punching Ken, right? That's the game. Ryu punches Ken. And then later, another edition comes out, and so he has to punch T. Honda. Or no, another... E. Honda's in the first one. I'm thinking of T. Hawk.
Yeah, T. Honda.
T. Honda, the gross love child of E. Hawk. E. Honda.
E. Hawk.
I can't do this
Cyber
anymore.
Hawk.
It's T. Hawk, but he's got a BlackBerry.
That poor bastard.
Well, what? It's 1998. He's the cutting edge of cool.
Oh, yeah. No, if it's 1998, then he is just a slick modern businessman.
I know. He's got a BlackBerry, and he's still calling it a Palm Pilot. He's like, hell yeah, I've got this Palm Pilot, and I can do super sweet wrestling moves.
Great.
What the hell am I talking about? Anyway, they managed to turn the Street Fighter game into a game where you're supposed to, like, infiltrate secret drug businesses and break them up. And then the drug business is guarded by two Vegas and a Blanca.
Yeah. It's just so weird.
It's so weird. But that's one of those things where it's like, okay, how do you stick this landing? You just turn, if you want to make a Street Fighter game that people can sit around in their house and play, and it isn't the video game, you just build a PvP engine. You build like that card fighting battle game that exists for Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Or I guess you added a level of adventure to it.
Yeah, and that was the weird thing for Bunnies and Burrows is there was a distinct split between the two,
yeah,
of wanting to do adventures and wanting to do just a bunny simulator. And I would love to see a group back in the day, like just, you know, late 70s, that was running this game as a straight up rabbit sim.
Yeah, that's kind of, I'd like to see that too. I liked if our copy of the book had a note fall out of it that had the message primarily aimed at Dan, but how he keeps trying to play Mongoose, and this is a game about rabbits, Dan.
This is Bunnies and Burrows. You do not get to be an owl.
Yeah, no advanced rules. We're playing out of the basic. No rabbits the next generation.
No supplemental rules. Nobody gets to be the rabbit that shoots lasers.
This one guy is like, I'd like to play as a hare. No, get the fuck out. You can't play as a hare.
Nah, bro. Can I be a tortoise?
You need to
Don't you dare bring that supplement in.
Are you fucking kidding me right now? It was bad enough when you showed up with that copy of Hares and Hovels.
Oh, man, that's basically where I live.
Gross.
It's so gross.
That is unpleasant, sir. I just thought of a few more games that kind of fit into that genre of this game doesn't really follow the main plot of going on an adventure. One of them is a Steve Jackson classic, which is Toon.
Oh, yeah.
Because in Toon, you don't really go on an adventure. You just do Animaniacs stuff in a room until someone falls down.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's a good one. And it's a fun game to play, too. It's actually a really fun game. The other one would be a game by, I think they're called Fantasy Strike Games.
Oh, yeah, Fantasy Strike. I remember them.
Yeah, Duckman.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Duckman RPG, again, has no real adventure. It's just bad shit happens, and then everyone does bad shit to each other until the scene is over.
Yeah, no, it's sort of like Toon.
Yeah.
It's just way better. And whoever created that, geniuses.
Oh, the best. Whoever was working at Fantasy Strike Games sometime around 2001.
Yeah.
Amazing.
God, those guys. Give them a raise.
Anyone who sees them should blow them on the street.
They should give them peach cobbler.
Peach cobbler whenever they are seen. Also, they should have palanquins that they're carried around on.
Obviously.
As long as they're being reasonable.
Yeah,
that's,
you know.
That's just the obvious. It's the understatement of the year that they should be carried around on golden palanquins.
Yes.
Yeah. By Nicolas Cages.
So many cages.
A mini cages per person. Per palanquin.
Yes.
There you go. All right. So it's it. I like that. And listeners, if you can think of a game that doesn't really follow the rules of role-playing games and does something completely different, like your party does not go on adventures, or you don't play as a guy that... Well, you know what I mean. You don't play as a character, but something else crazy happens.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're just like, here's a role-playing game where you play as, I don't know, a weird guy that runs around. He's like, what do you do? I grant wishes. I don't have an adventure. I just grant wishes.
You're describing Make You Kingdom. So that's actually a game. That's the one where you play as little Japanese mythical animals and you run around and grant wishes to the local townspeople.
Sweet.
So there's another game that exists and is in the genre.
Nice.
That's cool. I'm glad that we managed to get there. All right, you want to answer some questions from our many and various listeners?
All right, let's do it.
Okay, here we go.
Answering questions from the listeners now. Brown now, meow, meow, now, now.
Oh, is that it? I thought you were going to do like a whole extended theme song. Or am I just stepping on your silence break?
Yeah, why would you do that?
I'm sorry, I just ruined it for everyone.
I was trying to cover 433.
And there's fire pots shooting off in the background behind you. And I'm like, oops, I shouldn't be talking. Well, I'm going to dance off stage.
Hey!
Okay, what were some dishes Cheese Dude served but no longer does? Do they serve pizza?
Well, obviously they don't serve pizza.
No.
That's for a pizza joint. This is a Cheese Dude's.
Yeah, it's a Cheese Dude's. You can get a flat bread piece with cheese atop.
Yeah, and I mean obviously dipping sauces. And if you want, those sauces can come pre-applied to your flatbread.
Yeah, you can do one where the cheese is on the top, sauce is on the bottom. That's how you order. You order a flatbread, cheese on top, sauce on bottom.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine.
Yeah, that's perfectly reasonable, but it's not pizza.
No, you don't get a pizza here.
First, that's Italian. And Cheese Dudes is definitely not an Italian establishment, although they do serve an Authentico Italiano Cheese Dudes platter.
Yes, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they are the Cheese Dudes of many nations.
Cheese Dudes of all nations. Except
no, not all of them. No, just many.
Just many.
Several.
Here's a solid list of nations that are not where you will not find a Cheese Dudes. Ireland. Okay, next question. If you could replace one actor in a movie with another, which movie and what actor?
Let's see. That's a good question.
I have an answer for this.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I do.
I don't really have anything ready right off the top of my head. Although, I do.
Yeah?
Is they're remaking Stephen King's It.
Sure, sure.
And whoever they get to play Pennywise, I will replace with Tim Curry. I don't care.
Okay, well, I'm going to say the same thing, basically, except I'm going to be moving to the new Spider-Man movie.
Oh, Homecoming?
Yeah, Spider-Man Homecoming, and I'm going to replace whoever is playing J. Jonah Jameson with J.K. Simmons. I'm also going to replace Spider-Man with J.K. Simmons.
I'm going to replace everyone in this movie with J.K. Simmons. I need pictures. Pictures of myself.
Face it, Tiger. You just hit the jackpot.
There you go. That's it. It's the J.K. Simmons all one-man Spider-Man band.
Also, I want him to just be sitting on a stool on a black stage, and I want him to switch characters by spinning his hat around.
Oh, yeah. He's got a Spider-Man symbol on the front, and then it's like a Mary Jane symbol on the back.
And when he turns it sideways, it's a newsboy cap.
Extra, extra, pictures of Spider-Man.
There are some weird characters in New York, and I need pictures of them.
Yep, there you go.
Would you rather spill liquid down the front of your pants or step in dog poo? Ooh, depends on what kind of liquid and what I'm wearing on my feet.
And it's just down the front, not like in the pants, right?
I assume down the front means down and inside of your pants.
Oh, so like I was holding my pants open for some reason and then poured a liquid down
just,
there?
Just based on that, I'm going to go with the first option because if I'm holding my pants open for some reason, obviously it's to pour gravy in there.
Yeah, duh.
Yeah. I mean, gravy or caramel sauce. It's one of those.
Caramel gravy.
Caramel gravy. The only gravy made from caramel drippings.
Mmm. When I get that caramel turkey and then I get that leavings afterwards, use that as a gravy.
Did you just name the next Jones Soda?
Yeah, caramel turkey.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
There you go.
I'm still mad at Jones Soda because I bought a random blue soda the other day from them. It was like Blueberry Blast or something.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, blue soda. I'm going to drink this on the drive home. And then I got halfway through it, I realized it was caffeinated. How dare they caffeinate their blue fruit soda? Fuck them. I don't drink caffeine, by the way, for those of you who are listening.
Yeah, and if you do, he's better than you.
No, I don't care about that. I just, it was really...
All he cares about is who drinks caffeine or not.
No, I don't give a shit. I'm not all high and mighty about it. It was really fucking hard to quit, and so I don't want to get stuck on it again.
Yeah, and all he'll talk about is how good it is. He'll go into a party and be like, hey, I don't drink caffeine. Also, I'm vegan, and I do CrossFit.
To be fair, I do a lot of CrossFit talk, too. I really get into that CrossFit talk and how it is totally not working for me because I'm all old and fat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, man, I was at CrossFit last week, just sitting there, not doing the exercises or participating. Yeah, bro, I got my sweat on because it's hot in there. Also, because I was eating tacos, and I was eating them kind of too fast. Fucking CrossFit, bro.
They're real spicy, bro. Got real sweaty.
Got my sweat on. Man. Yeah.
Yeah!
Got a regimen. You got to work it. You got to stick that program. And I don't. I do not do that at all. I show up when I feel like it.
I show up when it's already over and go, yeah!
Missed it. Class dismissed for the day. Hey, it's next to a Subway. That's convenient. Anyway, all those questions came to us from a talking paperclip.
A talking paperclip?
A talking paperclip?
A paperclip talking to me?
What's it got to say?
It hey, looks go. Like you're writing a letter.
Hey, you should go for a walk. All right, next question comes to us from @FaceLikeThunder, and he starts his question with butt, which is weird. Butts, do you like them?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry, the actual question.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah, they are great. I'm a big fan of butts.
Yeah.
I can't prevaricate. But could you explain for our group the mechanics for having a great or lovely week in the System Mastery RPG?
Well, if you're going to have a great week or a lovely week, that's on the sliding scale. We always want you to have a great week because we are non-adversarial DMs.
Yeah, we don't wish you any particularly negative weeks.
But, I mean, if you do have a negative modifier and you roll low, you're going to have a bad week.
That's true. Yeah, you will. Also, if the at the DM's discretion, you might have a bad week.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he can decide if he wants to give you that modifier.
Yeah. So there you go. So those are the mechanics for how to have a good or bad week.
Yep.
A thing I stole because I was watching L.A. Beast the day that we first started recording this.
You were watching Buona Beast?
Yeah, I was watching Buona Beast.
You were watching KG Beast? You were watching Beast Boy? Hold on. There's got to be some more DC guys.
They're just called Beast?
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, you were watching Beast so from far. The X-Men?
Yeah, just Beast. Oh, he's not a DC guy. Come on.
No. Wait, I fucked it up.
Do you think you could do an amalgam comics about Beast mixed with Buona Beast that's just called Beast Beast?
Yes.
He can combine two animals of the same species into another one of that same animal of that same species.
Yeah, and then you could combine Buona Beast with Beast Man, and then you'd get Buona Man. And then he would star in a film about basketball where someone's pretending to be a lady so they can play in the WNBA. And man, if anybody remembers this movie I'm referencing, I feel bad for you.
If I remember the movie Juana Man?
Yep.
I do remember that movie.
I'm real sad that I remember that movie.
I've never seen it, but I am familiar with it.
Ugh.
Anyway, now it's on our fucking list.
Oh, yeah, I bet. Now that I've mentioned it.
You son of a bitch.
God damn it. I fucked it up for everyone.
Don't do that.
Sorry.
Okay, next question comes to us from John Agar, and he asks, I have recently been possessed by an evil giant brain from outer space. Its name is Gore, and it spends most of its time making me secretly develop a super weapon that will let it control the entire world, or battling against a good brain that was sent to stop it. When it isn't doing that, it taunts me, telling me that your feelings of helplessness is your best friend, Savage. I just don't think that's true. So, what is my best friend?
Diamonds.
Well, that depends if he's a girl. A man's best friend is outside of a dog. A book is a man's best friend. However, inside of a dog, it's too dark to read.
Yes.
So you're going to need to solve that on your own.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for stealing that joke.
From a bumper sticker.
You piece of shit.
Whatever. It was just on a bumper sticker.
It was Groucho Marx.
That was Groucho? Really?
Yeah.
Fuck, now I have to remove that shit. I just saw it on a bumper sticker
you
once.
You stole Groucho's material.
Oh.
How dare you steal 80-year-old material?
Oh, I feel terrible. You know what? Because it's funnier than 50-year-old material.
Oh, yeah.
Groucho Marx shit is hilarious.
No, that's 100% accurate.
Yeah. Man, what movie is that from? Is that in Duck Soup?
Man, I have no idea. I have never watched any full Groucho movie.
Oh, shit. Duck Soup is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, I know it is. And I've watched bits of it.
God, I feel terrible now, but whatever. We're going to move on. And I'm not going to steal any more Groucho material today. But I am not averse to taking some Harpo material as we make our way through. Honk, honk. Cuts off tie.
Honk Honk Cuts Off Tie. Steals. That's my new character, Jake. Jake, I have a new character. His name is Honk Honk Cuts Off Tie.
Don't say Jake on the show. That's, that means no sense to anyone.
I don't care if they know who Jake is or not. He needs to know that I have a new character.
He doesn't listen to these.
He does now.
Fine. Anyway, we have a guy named Jake who used to run a lot of our games, and anytime we have a stupid idea for a character, out of nowhere, we will announce his name by saying, Jake!
Jake, I have a new character.
Because Jake is the sort of person who will get super angry at us.
He is long-suffering for our dumb bullshit shenanigans.
That's exactly right. That's the perfect way to describe it.
The type of person that will take off of his glasses and rub the bridge of his nose and be like...
The kind of person who has a beanbag to throw at us every time we do that.
It's true.
All right. Moving on. Next question comes to us from, holy shit, the ghost of Macho Man Randy Savage.
And that was entirely written out that way.
Yes.
Holy shit.
Holy shit. The ghost of Macho Man Randy Savage. Dear, should I do the voice or no?
No.
No? Okay. Dear Beefsteak and the Dag. I'm going to do it in a modulated calm voice. How's that?
There you go.
Okay. Dear Beefsteak and the Dag. So, out of the kindness of my heart, I gave you another chance. I gave you another shot at redemption. I asked you which Godzilla opponent is best. And one of yous couldn't even remember Hedorah's name. Actually, John couldn't remember Hedorah's name. I had no idea who the fuck Hedorah was.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
So that's true. Actually, both of us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I am actually very attracted to Hedorah. I am what you might call heterosexual.
Oh, Lord. Is it Hedorah? Is that why?
Yes.
Okay, Hedorah. See, there you go. Two of us can't remember Hedorah's name. And then the other one chimed in with Gamera. Gamera! Gamera never even fought Godzilla, you fools. He's a Godzilla knockoff invented by Daiai when they wanted to get a piece of the sweet Godzilla pie. Because I'm Godzilla sexual. God, I'm so angry. I feel a horrible stabbing pain in my graphics. Oh yeah, it's me, the ghost of Macho Man Randy Savage, finally freed from Mean Gene's body. Thanks, bub. Anyways, before I go to heaven and flying elbow drop God, here's a question for yous. Can you come up with a dumber but still plausible campaign slogan than I Like Ike? Do we mean like Tippecanoe and Tyler 2?
Feel the burn.
Feel the burn is pretty rough. I mean, I don't really want to feel the burn, you know?
No.
I want to
usually
talk
when
to
you
him.
Feel
like
the his... burn, you go see a doctor about that.
I want to hear his ideas and vote for him and stuff, but I don't really want to feel him.
Yeah. Kind of seems like he'd be a loose sack of corduroy is what he would feel like.
Like a Naugahyde couch that was thrown away a year ago.
Yeah.
Like a leather sack full of antlers and piss. But,
oh, man, and I have one of those, too, so I don't need to feel him.
That said, I endorse his many ideas.
Yes, many of them.
Yeah.
His miniature ideas.
I guess we'd have to probably come up with one of our own, too.
Yeah. I like stuff.
It's going to be against the law not to vote for me after you vote for me.
That's my slogan.
Yeah.
It's real catchy. It's short and sweet to the point. Hey, you better vote for me or I'm coming to your house to kill you.
That's a pretty good one. I mean, that's simple. It gets the message across, tells people what they need to know about your campaign slogan.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel good about your anti-BART policies. All right, so there we have it. Next question comes to us from the rotting corpse of Nikolai Ceausescu.
Man, lots of dead people this time.
I know,
around.
And a lot of hard-to-pronounce things I've never heard of before.
Yeah, I'm glad you're the one reading these.
Right? Yeah. Buna, so what is your favorite monster to use as mooks? You know, things that are kind of fun to fight, but not that noteworthy, that provide a little challenge but go down quick, and generally exist to die after putting up a little struggle, making the characters feel like badasses. I like hobgoblins for this, because they have some interesting abilities in 5th edition, but are pretty easy to skin into any sort of guard or horde monster. Pa, the rotting corpse of Nikolai Ceausescu. I don't know what Buna and Pa are. I assume they are a language.
So, I'd say kobolds probably are my favorite.
Okay.
But the sort of yippy, weird, dumb kobolds I love.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I like them is, one, it's super fun to just run around and be like, yeah, kobolds, woo!
The master! Yeah.
Ah, I love you!
Yeah, all right.
And then, you know, have them be complete idiots, and then you just sort of beat the crap out of them.
Yeah, but
you
don't want to. You kind of want to just train them.
Because the best part is you can either, like, murder all of them and go, oh, hey, little guys, come on. Come on, dude. And they're like, please. Okay.
Yeah, or you just get them.
You just get them. You just get kobolds to quit being assholes. Like, come on, guys. Cut it out.
All right.
But the other nice thing about them is if you find them, they may be a harbinger of a dragon.
Yeah.
So you have that little bit of danger when you fight them, too.
Sure, absolutely. I'm going to go with Skellabots.
Oh, good. Good choice.
Yeah. Skellabots are evil robots in rifts. They are made by the Coalition. You can kill them by the dozen because they're always going to make more. And they really do make you feel like a huge badass for killing them. They don't have enough MDC that it doesn't take you more than like 2 or 3 shots to put them down.
Yeah.
So, and they're just great, faceless, endlessly oppressive robots that you can kill and make them fall apart in fun ways.
Oh, no, they were definitely the villains on the Saturday morning cartoon for rifts.
Oh, yeah, you couldn't actually use Coalition guys because they'd get hurt. So it was just Skellabots everywhere.
Oh, yeah, you'd have, like, I'm a Coalition soldier guy, and he'd run around shooting things. But the only people who actually got shot were the bots.
Yeah, so Skellabots are definitely mine. Or in any other game, Skellabots.
Also in any other game.
Yeah.
My favorite game of Skellabots versus Kobolds.
That would actually be a really fun game. Hopefully someone designs that as a mobile app and then sends it to us for free.
Yes, for free.
It'll be some
Everything
kind of tower defense game where you can play as the Kobolds or the Skellabots.
Yeah, it'll be like Plants versus Zombies.
Yeah, but it'll be Kobolds versus Skellabots. And then it'll be a little guy on the cover saying, "This game makes no sense."
Skellabot hates the kobold. Kobold hates technology.
They will have a giant battle.
Kobold versus Skellabot.
Yeah, I'm on board for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, guys. Just listen to your most recent afterthought, and with regards to your last topic, I just wanted to say that I think you guys handled it tactfully and had some good insights. So, thanks. That was that Emily Garland weird debacle question from the last episode. Thank you very much. That's a tough topic to address correctly. I love the dumb, goofy shit you guys do. Don't stop, but don't shy away from a topic because it seems touchy. You both did a great job of being honest and forthcoming. I hope to hear more from you guys whenever it comes up. Anyway, a couple of stupid questions. Oh, here we go. I was getting all shy for a second there. Dumb questions. What's the tabletop equivalent of E.T. for Atari? So bad that it could be blamed for almost destroying the industry. Oh, that's White Wolf, right? Isn't it White Wolf that had the huge explosion in the mid-90s and kind of set the world into thinking it was crazy, like RPGs were too edgy?
Well, no, but E.T. was the game that was so bad it almost ruined the company.
Oh, okay, so...
That's the one that with the landfill full of it.
Yeah, the landfill full of it. So, okay, in the late history of TSR, which was making Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition, they were owned by a woman who also owned, because of like her family history, she owned the rights to, I think it's Flash Gordon?
Buck Rogers.
Buck Rogers, thank you. And so she was making a bunch of dumb RPGs that didn't really work for D&D. She was making a Buck Rogers RPG, a bunch of stupid expansions to 2nd Edition D&D. I don't think it was any particular, like, 2nd Edition D&D is a classic, don't get me wrong. It's a great edition of the game. And I don't think it killed TSR.
No.
Management was basically what did that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, of something that would actually kill the line, there's not a lot, because usually most companies aren't huge to begin with.
I feel like you could pick one of those games that's not huge and that killed itself, and while it was doing so, it had like a million references to books that will never come out.
Yeah.
Like the Great War of Magellan, for example. Like every third page of that book has like, look for the Secrets of the Kree in the Secrets of the Kree book coming out next year.
Yeah, you'd think that.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot, I mean, and again, most companies, even if they put something out that is just awful, because it's like just a supplement or a book or whatever, it won't sell well, but usually the company is not banking on one book to save them.
Yeah. I don't know, that's a tricky question. There's a lot of potential answers to it. It's just that most of the industries that are making RPGs still are in one form or another. I'd like to think that Beast is going to be responsible for the doom of White Wolf.
Yeah, that's going to destroy the Onyx Press.
Yeah, oh, it's Onyx Press, right. I mean, if Exalted didn't kill... Exalted 3rd Edition wasn't able to kill Onyx Press. We'll make a game, guys. It'll take us 7.5 years. Past the Kickstarter date that we set.
Woo!
Anyway, other questions from him. Cougar's lost his edge, and you two characters are going to Top Gun. What are your call signs, and can you work well enough as a team to pilot the Northrop F Tiger II?
Nah, I mean, I can't.
No, you probably can't pilot a Tiger II.
Nah.
I feel like, I feel like tigers were the planes flown by the bad guys in that movie.
I thought tigers were those little handheld games where it was the little sprites would go across the
LCD.
Screen.
Yeah, they used LCD display.
I had a Mega Man 2 one.
I had a watch that played Tetris with that LCD display. I miss that thing so much.
I know you do. You have mentioned it every time.
To you, never on the show.
Yes, on the show.
God damn
forever
it.
On the show.
Every time?
Every time.
Whatever.
You and that Tetris watch.
Whatever. You say lol too much.
Lol.
Just saying it once is too much. It's not a word.
Laffo.
There you go. That's way better. You could at least say raffle mal.
Hey, LaMau.
Anyway, so do we have what it takes, and what are our call signs?
I don't know. Let's see. My call sign, probably Chunkles.
Chunkles.
Chunkles. I want someone to say that over the radio and be like, all right, Mavericks, you're coming in hot. Chunkles, you got his back.
And I want to go with the Wheeze.
Chunkle and the Wheeze. Mornings on your drive time radio, Chunkles and the Wheeze.
See, I specifically want the Wheeze because I want people to constantly do it in the Pauly Shore voice and then feel bad. Oh, I fucking hate that guy. Why did you name your... Oh, I hate you.
The Wheeze.
Yeah, exactly. I want that. All right, so there you go. Chunkles and the Wheeze.
There you go. That's our call signs. Congratulations.
Are we good enough to fly a plane? Well, we're good enough for CrossFit, so probably, right?
Probably.
Bro? I mean, we're just going to sit there.
Sit in the plane, not take off.
How come this thing doesn't have a sound system? Hey, will you Domino's, will you deliver to the...
Where's the cup holder on this?
Domino's, we're in an F-14 parked on the Miramar airstrip in San Diego. If you could come on down here... Look, they're going to give you some hassle.
The guy at the gate will try and stop you. Don't worry.
It's cool. Just
just tell him you got a pizza for us.
Just drive fast and serpentine.
just tell him you got a delivery for Chunkles and the Weasel.
There it is. All right. Each of you is sucked into an anime as the main character. You get their full power set. Which anime would you have the best chance of completing? Wait, completing?
Yeah, of taking to completion until the anime
well,
finishes.
See, that means like don't choose one of those animes that never fucking ends because
it's just still going
yeah,
forever.
Yeah, like the manga takes so long to come out that they just put out filler episodes once a week. Like what happened to Naruto, for example.
Well, I mean, fucking Dragon Ball is still going forever.
Well, no, Dragon Ball ended a long time ago. They're starting a new one now. But
yeah.
It did actually have an ending, and Naruto does not. Naruto's still sitting there spinning out dumb stories about that one time that Rock Lee went to school.
Oh, yeah, no, and you still get shit like One Piece going on forever and ever.
So it'd probably be best to be choose one of those. If I want a power set, it would still have to be from one of those animes that ends.
Yeah, well, you know what I would like is the... But I wouldn't want to be the protagonist in that world is the problem. So I was going to say Full Metal Alchemist, but I do not want to be either of them.
I don't want you to be that either. Those characters are fucking annoying. I mean, it's an interesting world and an interesting story, but Jesus Christ, I know you accidentally killed your mom or whatever. Just stop talking about it. Just stop. Also.
Yeah, look, I know that you tried to bring your mother back from the dead, created a horrible abomination, killed your brother, trapped his soul in armor, and lost your arm and leg when you were like 9, but get over
How
it.
How did he not?
You're
like,
12 now. You're like, basically a man.
He's like so badass on that show. I mean, he's like a crazy metal telekinetic ninja. He's like, oh, I don't have an arm. Yes, you do. You have a cool robot arm, and you've got like ferrokineticism. You're fine.
He's just an alchemist, man.
It's only his brother that really has any reason to complain, and he's usually pretty cheerful about shit.
Yeah, because he's, you know, he's just a little kid.
Yeah, fucking, is it Ed that's the old one?
Yeah.
Yeah, get over it.
And Alphonse is the little one.
Get your shit together, Ed, and quit. Also, let people call you short. Just shut the fuck up. just stop it.
See,
yeah,
that would be my thing, is if I was him, though, in the series, I would just be like, hey, Shorty, and be like, yeah, okay, great.
Yeah, whatever.
Good.
I'm kind of short. You're right.
That is correct. I'm shorter than normal. That's probably because I'm using all of my body's energy to keep myself alive and keep my brother's soul tethered to this reality. Anyway, have you done lately, you piece of shit?
Oh, well, you see, I'm going to be, since I'm also going to try and choose an anime that fucking ended, I'm going to be Jet from Cowboy Bebop. because he's one of the few characters on that show that doesn't die or go crazy at the end. He just gets to keep being a cool space detective, who, by the way, is not whiny at all about his robot arm.
Good.
So there you go.
There you go.
Those are our characters. My powers are that I have a robot arm, which doesn't really seem to do much, and I have a cool spaceship.
No, I'm going to be in Tenshimuyo. My power is I have a lot of ladies.
No, you're going to be, okay, here's the thing. I'll be in Tenshimuyo. The difference is I'm down to fuck.
Yeah, I show up in one of those harem animes. Instead of being like, I've got a nosebleed, ladies, I'd be like, yes, let's do this, everyone.
Line forms here.
There you go. That's where it is.
God damn it. That's awesome. All right. Okay, next question comes to us from, seriously, a skeleton.
Ah! A skeleton.
A spooky skeleton.
Spooky, scary skeleton.
This question better not be about my bones.
Eh, my bones.
My bones. Dear System Mastery, all I want for my birthday is for you to answer this question. You need to make the worst RPG you possibly can, using only mechanics from the games you have reviewed and setting and fluff from the movies you have reviewed on Movie Mastery. What does this game look and play like? How awful, broken, and offensive can you possibly make it?
Great. Here's the RPG. We've got the mechanics from Numenon and Deliria.
Mixed together, yeah, okay.
You don't know what you're supposed to be doing, neither does the DM. However, it's insufferably smug about that because of Deliria.
Yeah, okay.
Also, it is set in the world of, what was the...
Fantasy Imperium? Fifth Age?
No, the Movie Mastery one, because I'm setting it in the fluff of one of the movies.
Oh, which Movie Mastery?
We're going to go with that, the U.S. Gets Nuked one.
Oh, The Day After.
Yeah, we're going to go with The Day After.
Okay.
And every time I tried to think of it, I kept thinking of The Day After Tomorrow, and I'm like, no, that's Cusack.
I think technically the U.S. also got nuked in both Zardoz.
No, wait, that's 2012. God damn it.
Yeah.
Many stupid fucking movies.
I mean, just saying the U.S. got nuked in this one actually lines you up for also Wizards and Zardoz.
Oh, my God. Not in Wizards, though, because then it would actually line up with Numenon and Deliria.
Yeah.
So no, it's just The Day After.
Okay, just The Day After.
The game is no mechanics that are incredibly smug, and all you can do is slowly die of radiation poisoning. That's the game.
That's pretty horrifying.
There you go.
I'm pretty sure you just described the plot to A Boy and His Dog. Or Grave of the Fireflies.
Yeah, but this one is a game, and you can't do anything.
Man, the Grave of the Fireflies RPG would be amazing. That's my answer right there. I don't care if it doesn't actually line up to what he wanted in the first place, but it's Grave of the Fireflies, the RPG. Every day you go out and try and find medicine for your little sister. You fail and she dies. Then you end up busking.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, folks, sorry for spoiling Grave of the Fireflies, an anime movie from like 1990.
Yep. Good job.
Anyway, go see it anyway. It's awesome. And very depressing.
Super depressing.
Yeah. All right. Okay, next question comes to us from John.
Oh, yeah, this is mine. This is my question.
No, this is John. Remember listener John, and he wanted to know if he was wasting his life?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. I am wasting my life, and this is my question.
Except he's got an H in his name.
Oh, this is not my question, then. I refuse to be associated with H's. God.
All right. Hey, what is your favorite one-hit wonder from the 80s or 90s? I like to think one-hit wonders from the 2000s still have a chance. Do you? Do you want to think that Len still has a chance?
Do you want someone to steal your sunshine? Is that what you want?
I know I want someone to cut to a clip. I was crying on the bench, sliding in the park across the street. L-A-T-E-R, that leap. My sticky puns were in the making, straws out of big, fast, slurpy treats. An incredible light for heat. Them sticky buns. And slurpy treats. The thing about that song that gets me is how, like, Canadian they are when they're singing about going to, like, the beach in California and stuff. It's just nothing they really say makes sense. They aren't quite there about what it's like to go to a beach.
Yeah.
It's adorable. It's like if Canadians were just aliens. Wait, I would like to go to where the water meets the driest of dirt.
Beep, boop.
Hey. All right. What would you say is your favorite one-hit wonder from the 80s or 90s?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Is it some Hathaway?
No, it's, okay. Man, the only thing I have in my head is fucking the, good, like the, what was that,
good,
better than Ezra?
Or living with you. Yeah, that is better than Ezra.
That is better than Ezra.
Yeah.
But who is it?
Well, I mean, it certainly isn't less than Jake. It's definitely better than Ezra.
And less than Jake. It's in the middle.
It's in the middle.
Of the greater than less than signs of bands, it is somewhere in the middle. It is greater than or equal to Ezra.
Except that those math signs are less than and better than. It's a B next to an equals.
Beequals.
I'm going to go with The Way by Fastball.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure that Fastball actually does have another hit. I don't remember what it is. I know they have another hit, but The Way by Fastball was one of my favorite songs from the 90s. And I really enjoy, look it up if you want. It's the one about the two people that decide to drive off and live another life and leave their kids to die. It's a killer song.
Great.
I'm a big fan. And you're going to go with, what's it called?
Now, let's see. Probably the best one that I would pick out from all of them is... I'm going to go with Good Vibrations. I'm going to go with Marky Mark's Good Vibrations. That's a great one-hit wonder because he turned into an actual actor. It makes me real happy that I could like go up to him and be like, hey, man, can you sign my CD of Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch? And then he'd be like, God damn it.
Oh, you know what? I have Donnie Wahlberg. Fake my signatures on those.
Don't you give me that Donnie bullshit.
Donnie, get out here.
Okay. I don't know why that's Donnie Wahlberg, but it is now.
Yeah, it's Donnie Wahlberg. He sounds like Bullwinkle.
Gosh.
Oh, thanks for letting me sign that.
Watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
I'm late for my shift at the Costco.
That poor Wahlberg.
The saddest of the Wahlbergs. All right, so next question comes to us from Abaddon, and he says, so last time I wrote in with something heavy. I guess he was actually the person who sent in the question about the weird thing. I figure this time I'll lighten shit up by asking you guys about Scooby-Doo.
Okay.
So I started watching Scooby-Doo, Mystery Incorporated, because one of you boners said it was good.
Yes.
Gee, I wonder which one of us boners said it was good.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's an intensely confusing show, so here are some questions. Number one, what is up with the voice cast? Was there really some Hollywood creative type who thought, you know what the kids like and want to hear more from? Harlan Ellison. Jeffrey Tambor and Jeffrey Combs.
Dude, yes. Yes.
Every Jeffrey in Hollywood needs to get more work.
Right?
Yeah, except for Foxworthy.
No, he needs more work on Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, on Scooby. I'd accept him on Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
He could be Scooby-Dunn.
It works.
Yeah, I just solved that question. Get Jeff Foxworthy on there as Scooby-Dunn. In fact, let's go through and round out all the other Jeffreys and who needs to be who on that show. So, okay, we already have Jeffrey Combs, and we have, who's the other one that was
Tambor.
Tambor's on the show. So that means we need a place for Jeff Goldblum.
Yep, Jeff Goldblum. Obviously, he's going to be one of the, red herring guys.
Okay, so someone who, he could be that Avocados guy, and it wouldn't hurt anything on that show.
Yeah.
And we also need one for, I had another Jeff in my head, and he's falling right back out.
Bridges.
Jeff Bridges. We need Jeff Bridges on the show.
Yeah, Jeff Bridges shows up as the dude.
Oh, he's just the dude? I was figuring he could play Scooby-Doo's dad.
Scooby-Dude.
Scooby-Dude. Exactly.
Yeah.
Scooby-Dude. The Scooby-Dude.
Yes.
Just mincing around in a bathrobe, drinking milk with air quotes.
There you go.
Answer that question. So why don't we throw in Udo Kier as an evil parrot? Why wouldn't you? That's great.
It's fucking Udo Kier as an evil parrot.
And Linda Cardellini as a girl who smells like hot dog water. You know what? I'm actually going to go to bat on that section of the question. I love that they brought Linda Cardellini in, but not as Velma. So they gave her an interesting role, but they're so mean to hot dog water.
Yeah.
Her name's Marcy. It's on the show. But they keep calling her that.
I know. Well, it's one of those nicknames that as soon as you're like, oh, yeah, that's hot dog water. Like, you would just do that. It doesn't matter. You'd be like, oh, yeah, hot dog water.
It makes me feel like the Scooby gang in the show are mean, evil people. Because they're, like, just refusing to let her not have her nickname. I mean, granted, that show does kind of cast them as oblivious dicks about half the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the whole point of anyone who is part of the, like, Mystery Inc. crews.
Yeah.
Is that they end up, like, becoming super selfish and evil and get corrupted by this whole thing.
So you think that at the moment, the planospheric disc or whatever the fuck has just made it so that the group is vaguely mean and stupid?
Yeah.
But eventually it'll straight up turn them evil, but for now it's just turned...
Although, honestly, the fact that they refuse to call her anything but hot dog water just makes it more realistic that they're high school students.
I guess that's true. It's like the only thing that would imply they're high school students on that show.
Is that they are oblivious dickholes.
Yeah. What do you make of the decision to make Fred full-on autistic? All right.
Man,
I'm glad I'm glad you said that, because I feel like I would get in trouble for saying that. But I don't think he's full-on autistic, because he actually does develop feelings for people. I think he's just really weird.
Yeah, he's just kind of crazy.
And I feel like that could probably be blamed not so much on his mental state, but on his upbringing.
Yeah.
I mean, he was raised by someone who was not his dad on
We're doing huge spoilers here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to ruin the show for people who are going to go and watch it.
Which you should, because it's amazing.
Ugh. I found it moderate to medium okay. It's probably,
you don't like anything.
It's it's the best Scooby-Doo since the Scooby-Doo movies. And I don't mean the two Scooby-Doo movies in theaters. I mean the new Scooby-Doo Adventures, which are the hour-long Scooby-Doos from the 60s where they have celebrities from the 60s.
No.
I'm sorry, they're in the 70s.
I, however, love the actual Scooby-Doo movie. I don't give a fuck. That live-action shit was the best.
No, it's just fine. I felt like it was the best possible casting you could do.
Oh, yeah. Amazing casting and very meta and tongue-in-cheek.
I think it's also the moment where Velma became sexy officially. Like, yeah. You know, up until that, she was still kind of just wearing a shapeless orange outfit. But then they strapped Linda Cardellini into it, and it was like, no, you can't not.
Well,
it's like, well, that's the end of that. She's the sexy one from now on.
There you go.
Sorry, Sarah Michelle Gellar. There was no one hot enough to rival Linda Cardellini. Anyway, let's see. Is there any way they could have done the Shaggy chooses Scooby over Velma plot without implying so much bestiality? You know what? I don't even have a problem with that part of the plot, that Shaggy chooses Scooby. I just didn't like what they did to Velma in that plot line.
Well, again, it's very, like, this is for reals high school students of being like, I've decided I need a boyfriend, and you're the only person I hang out with.
Yeah, you'll do.
Yeah, no, that is straight up some high school bullshit.
That's, you know, honestly, if you look at it that way, then that sequence, that part of that first season where Scooby, or Shaggy has to choose Scooby over Velma, isn't about bestiality, it's about being a closeted gay guy. That's what that is. That's her being like, no, you have to be my boyfriend. I will force you to be my boyfriend. He's like, all right, I'll go to the dance with you. Okay, I can make this work. And then eventually he's like, no, I can't. I don't like you.
This is not what I like.
I like the D, and the D stands for my dog.
There you go.
It's a sexuality metaphor. Why do the villains keep inventing technologies that are worth millions or even billions of dollars, then using those technologies to try and steal something that is worth way less? Well, it's Scooby-Doo. That's what they do on that show. Although, I do want to mention that some of the people on that show don't even invent cool technology. They just seem to be super strong.
Well, yeah, that was even classic Scooby-Doo stuff. It's like, oh man, I'm going to rob this place for several thousand dollars. However, I've invented a machine that lets me fly and shoot lasers. And you're like, really?
Yeah, that's the normal thing, is you have to defend an old golf course or something, and you're like, well, I got to keep kids out of this golf course. I'll invent an Iron Man suit and drape a pirate costume over it.
Yeah. You're like, man, why are you still at this golf course? Just, why aren't you working at, like, some giant corporation?
In that show, they actually do have a couple occasions where that happens, where they go and sell the suit and get rich. But the one that gets me is the one where it's Fred's two, like, high school friends that are the bad guy, and they don't even have a robot suit. They apparently just have the ability to chop cars in half.
Yeah.
I like that. Just being good at soccer is all you need.
That's all you need, man. Just good at soccer.
All right. So there you go. Thanks, Abaddon.
Yeah. Great show. Everything's wonderful.
Hello, J. Jonah and Jameson. Face it, Tiger, you just hit the jackpot. I have one short question and one long question for you this week. Number one, is it ever advisable to draw from the deck of many things?
Okay. Yes, forever do that. Oh my god, I love the deck of many things. I have an actual deck of many things. I have the actual deck that they made for it, mm-hmm. And that was a long-running gag in our D&D game, is that at one point in time we randomly rolled the deck of many things, and me being a like compulsive gambler and stupid person, I was like, this is the best, oh my god, I pull five times from this, I don't care. And then like all of us ended up getting a bunch of really awesome shit and only like mildly hurt by it. We're like, that was great. And so then it ended up showing up again randomly in a random treasure amount. And so then I just started putting it into my game whenever I would run it. And then it became a thing where the meta plot was there was some demon who was making them, because the card that sucks your soul out was sending it to hell. So he was making decks of many things just to trick people into giving them his souls.
Wow. You'd think after a while, once he'd established what they were for everyone in the world, he could just start releasing ones that don't have any other cards in them.
Well, yeah, but then you'd do like a detect magic thing and it'd be like, oh no. This is just steal your soul. This isn't the deck of many things.
Fair enough. He'd just have to officially, legally change the name of it. I think you just have to do that at the Hell Patent Office. It's not that big of a deal. Anyway, I don't much care for the deck of many things. John really loves it, so there you go. We got two mixed answers on that. I feel like the only way to win with that thing is to not play.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Now, on the other hand, the coat that you can wear that you can pull random animals out of.
Oh, yeah.
Huge fan. Huge fan.
Also, that coat you can wear that has many colors.
Oh, dude, could you list a few of those colors?
Yeah, it's got like purple and blue and green and ochre.
Thank you. I'm glad you were able to do that for me. Okay, let's see. Longer question. Imagine a future about 300 years from now in which RPGs set in a fantastic version of what is to us the modern era are extremely popular. What will fantasy heartbreakers do to differentiate themselves from games that take liberties with reality for the sake of fun? Will Wage Slave be the new shit farmer? Yours truly, Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah. No, that's true. If you were doing something in the far future set into the distant past, then the distant past is here. Then, yeah, you'd be like, oh, well, you know, you're going to have to get a bunch of skills. You'll have skills in interneting.
Driving. You'll have to, let's see, your character will have to tithe equivalent to income tax levels, and then a really serious heartbreaker will actually have a split between federal and state income tax levels.
Yeah. You'll be like, oh, you know tax, but do you know both of these?
Yeah. Are you using the 1099?
Is it miscellaneous?
Can you itemize that? What counts as a workplace expense? Is it your plus one longsword?
Oh, yeah. And that'll all just be, like, one series. I mean, all the taxed ones, and you get all the ones for, like, here's data entry. And then it's a separate skill for 10 key.
Oh, Christ, yeah. That'd be so horrible. You can't just have office work as one of your skills.
No.
You have to drill that shit down and be like, oh, I'm good at filing.
TV VCR repair.
Or earn your degree.
Anyway.
All right. Thanks, Mads Mikkelsen. Next question comes to us from Sir Sean M., Slayer of the Iridescent Worm, Quaffer of Many Ales, and Tickler of Umber Hulks.
Yeah.
All right. When does a little bit of Monica in your life become too much Monica in your life?
You got me. You got me, man. You did it. Good question. You done did it.
Well, okay, let's see. We can probably answer this by evaluating the other women from the song. So, for example, a little bit of Rita is just All Night Long.
Wow, that's a long time, actually.
Yeah, so it's a lot of a little bit of Rita.
Yeah, a little bit of Rita goes all night long.
Yeah, so a little bit of Monica is just in your life, but we can establish that All Night Long still constitutes just a little bit.
Yeah, but in your life can constitute, like, years.
Yeah, no, it's true. So do we want to say All Night Long is probably the amount of Monica that you want in your life?
Yeah, but then we're trying to get to how much is too much Monica.
Okay, how much is too much Monica? Let's see.
Probably about 7 or 8 seasons of Friends worth.
Yeah, about that. That's about right. Yeah.
That's too much Monica.
That's okay, but how much Phoebe?
About one season's worth.
You get sick of Phoebe.
It's too much
fast.
Phoebe.
Phoebe is my favorite character on that show because she never got involved in everyone else's relationship shenanigans.
Nah, man.
She was just off being a weirdo, and I was like, all right, I can contend with what you're doing. I don't care who falls in love with who.
No, it's Joey. Joey 100%. Because everyone else is doing things, and he just comes in and he's like, Joey.
I was on a sitcom or whatever.
Hey.
Yeah. I have a pet duck.
And then he's gone.
Yep. All right. So there you go. That's your answer to your really, really good question. Okay. Two kind of serious questions for Afterthought. They do not need serious answers, though, from Ted Cheddar. Number one, when playing characters of the opposite gender, should I do a voice? In-character conversations are always fun, but when I tried it in a woman's voice, I struggled to get it right. Should I just play dudes, not use any voice, or work to get the voice right? I know to avoid caricatures and wouldn't stand for sexism if my group did any. They don't.
Yeah. For me, I think it kind of is. It's one of those things where you're not like, oh, I need to try and do the same woman voice for everything in the same way I wouldn't do the same guy's voice for everything. But if you are playing as a PC that is just, this is my character, I'm playing a woman and I'm a man.
Mm-hmm.
Just do your own voice, because eventually you're going to get to the point where you're like, I don't want to do this voice anymore, even if you do a good voice.
That's exactly my policy, and I play women all the time.
Yeah,
so
I know you do.
That's like my favorite thing. My thing about role-playing games, and I've probably said this before, But I like to play something as far removed from myself as possible.
Yeah.
If it's possible to not play a human, I play something other than a human. If humans are an option, I don't even choose them. I like to play women because I'm not a woman. I like to get outside of myself when I'm playing a character. That's what's more fun for me.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I have the soothing baritone of a radio announcer, so I can't be a woman. I can't do like a Betty Rubble voice, you know?
No.
So I just don't, and I assume everyone else at the table is going to be able to fill in that blank.
Yeah, but I mean, if you've got something and it's like, there's a chain smoker that works at a Denny's who comes up to you and is like, hey, I'm Deborah, I'll be your server. You can do that.
Yeah, fine.
That's fine.
If I'm playing as Mrs. Bighead from Rocco's Modern
Life. You
want to
be Mrs. Bighead, you can do that.
Rocco.
Mrs. Bighead.
Click. Yeah, that's fine. Okay, let's see. Other question. How can designers make DMing fun? Not many people really enjoy running games, and it's a lot of hard work in many systems that often get circumvented or ruined by players. There's a lot of more improv-based games that are easier, but those don't fit with some games and styles. Traditionally, there's been a lot of adversarial sadism, and that's fucking stupid. Are there good examples of games that are a lot of fun to run, not just out of an interest in the narrative?
Why, yes. It's 4th edition D&D.
That's actually... Okay, with 4th edition D&D... You do still need to set your world up, and it does take a little while to get that done. The nice thing about 4th edition D&D for DMs as a toolkit set is that they give you all the tools you need to build your encounters with balance. You don't have to worry about accidentally killing your party or presenting them with a fight that's no fun.
Well, the other thing you can do is just run it like a board game.
Yeah, you can absolutely run it like a board game. And the game gives players a lot of power, so you can be fairly adversarial and get away with it.
Yeah.
I'd say also, if you don't like 4th edition D&D, always go with its offshoot, Gamma World. 7th edition Gamma World. I have run 7th edition Gamma World, and it is crazy fun.
And, I mean, I can't think of one right off the top of my head that would really work, but any game that was... It gave the DM tools, I think, is the big thing. I mean, like, that's why I mentioned 4th edition, is it does give you a bunch of tools. But anything that would give you something like... Here's some little mix and match things that you can do, a good monster manual if you're going to be playing that type of adventure, or good rules for how to slot things in. So if you go, all right, here's a good way to just pre-generate a kingdom or
I can think of one right
generate
off-
like nobles or something like that.
Yeah, I can think of one off the top of my head, and we have to dig way back in the archives to get to it. Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, it's true.
It gave you a... Villains you created in the Buffy the Vampire Slayer RPG had three stats, and they were three numbers that just ranged from 1 to 6. You didn't need to think about it at all. You just put these three numbers down and gave them a personality, and you were done.
Yeah. But also, just world building for the DM, I think, is the hardest part, and that's why a game that either can give you a world preset, so if you're playing in Sunnydale, say, for the Buffy RPG, or if it gives you a... Here's a quick set of, like... Roll up, like Traveler style. You just go, here's my world. I rolled it up. There you go.
Oh, yeah, except the Traveler's going to roll some world you can't play in. So I can see where you'd
want to
get
no
that.
Atmosphere and 10,000 people living there.
Also, the 10,000 people there are Nazis.
Yeah, that's it.
But they love the smooth taste of Haven cigarettes. I shouldn't recognize, or I shouldn't refer to the intro. That's against the rules, right?
It's against the rules, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, moving right along.
You're broken kayfabe.
Oh, no. Thanks, Ted Chatter. Questions. Let's see here. From Joseph Gurkeman Adams. Am I commenting too much on your Twitter?
I have no idea who you are, so no.
Nope, you're fine. Have you guys ever seen Steven Universe, and if so, what do you think about it?
I've seen a few episodes. It certainly is a cartoon.
I very much enjoy it. I have seen all the episodes. I think probably the most innovative things to me about it are, of course, the metaphors for lesbian relationships are really interesting. The fact that they managed to slide so much of that into the show on Cartoon Network is fantastic. The other thing that really gets me on that show is the music. Not just Better Than You, the song that everyone knows and is on the YouTube all the time. I mean all those little background bits, the little bits of music, because it's all done in kind of half symphonic, half chiptune, and it's just really pretty. So the music on that show is just... astounding. So that's what I'm going to say is my favorite thing about it. So there you go. We both kind of like it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. And what video game worlds do you think would make good RPG settings?
Video game worlds?
Yeah, video game worlds. So let's go with, I'm going to say Baldur's Gate and Baldur's Gate 2 set in the city of Baldur's Gate and has some characters, some places called like Om and Athkatla. I thought that would be a pretty good setting. Also, Planescape Torment seems like it'd be a pretty good one.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting one to go around in.
Yeah, that's...
Man, I wish they would make that into an RPG.
Yeah, the Sega Genesis had a Shadowrun RPG that I thought was really good and would make a pretty good role-playing game.
Yeah. Also, the Goonies video game.
Good lord. Wasn't that even called the Goonies 2?
Yes.
And there was no... Like, it was supposed to be a sequel to the movie automatically?
I'll tell you a little story about the Goonies 2 video game.
Yeah?
I could not get out of the first room they put you in.
Nice.
As a child, I sat there for an hour or two, just running around a room, couldn't figure out how to get out of it, never played the game again. So my experience with that video game is being in one room and doing nothing.
All right, I'm going to try and give this a serious answer. I'm going to pick a Super Nintendo game, and the Super Nintendo game I'm going to pick is called UN Squadron. John, have you ever heard of that?
No.
All right, it's one of those Gradius or style shooter, space shooters or R-Type, except instead of being in space, you fly an actual airplane, and you play as the UN. They have an elite team of Strike Force fighters that are pulled from various countries.
Okay.
So I guess they've militarized a lot more. So you have an American guy and a British guy and a Japanese guy that you can fly as. Now, in the RPG version, you'd be able to play anyone from any country you want, and it would provide bonuses and stats to your character. Your villain is, for some reason, the world's largest evil mercenary organization that just has an endless supply of mook jets to throw at you. So it would be an RPG that's actually done from airplanes, and you fly along adjacent to each other and fly out and have encounters in your airplanes and shoot down other airplanes. But you play as a coalition of nations that are trying to take out an evil organization that has a million jets and ground targets.
I would totally play that. I'd probably be like from Canada.
Yeah.
I'd play a guy from there, and my name would be Tim Horton, and my call sign is Chunkles.
I'd play a guy from like Los Angeles. My mom would own the comedy club of Los Angeles, and I think I'd probably use my call sign, the Weasel. But no, in all seriousness, I think UN Squadron would be kind of neat, just because I feel like a game where your stats are the airplane that you're flying.
Yeah. So basically Car Wars, but planes.
Car Wars, but planes, and a lot more RPG-ish.
Because
Car Wars, of course, is more of a tabletop war game.
Yeah.
So there you go. That'd be my answer. Do you have a real answer you want to throw in on that one?
Yeah, we're going to go with Bayou Billy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right.
One of the other games that I played for 3 hours and got past one screen and then died and never played.
I had that problem with, I don't remember the name of the games, but the ones where you played as the little fat dude in the loincloth with the hat. He was named Master Higgins.
What?
Someone's going to know what I'm talking about.
Man, whoever mentions this and tells me what that game is, bless you, because this sounds amazing.
Oh, it's terrible. The games are awful. You play as a fat little chubby in a loincloth, and he's wearing a hat from the company. The hat is the company logo of the company that made the video game. He's running around on the tropical island throwing rocks at, like, snails and pigs and shit, and every once in a while he gets a skateboard, and the skateboard just fucks your shit forever because it's too hard to control.
Is it Tropico?
No. Tropico's the one where you get a yo-yo, I think. No, that's something star. Star something.
Yeah, that's Tropico Star.
Something.
Star Tropics.
Star Tropics, thank you.
There you go. Tropico is the fucking thing where you're basically Cuba.
Yeah, no, I don't remember what this game was called. Someone's going to tell us, because I'm not going to research it.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Let's see. Let's finish off with a couple more here. Pick a genre of music. What's an exception to your otherwise universal hatred of that genre?
I don't hate genres. I love all the genres, except for jazz. Fuck jazz.
All right, pick a jazz song you like.
I don't know. I can't even think of a jazz song at all.
Just say Salt Peanut.
Salty Nuts.
Yeah, Salty Nuts, the famous jazz
The
song
Assaulted Nuts,
by
that famous improv song.
All right. Let's see. I'm not a huge fan of country music. I'll just mostly because I feel like a lot of it's just become pop music that has steel guitar twangs and a lot of weird aggression added to it.
Yeah.
You know, Louisville Slugger would be an amazing example of a country song I just can't fucking stand. Whatever that's Before He Cheats.
Yes.
Actual name of the song.
No, every time that comes on, I'm always like, man, I cannot believe this song because she doesn't know that he's cheating.
She has an idea.
Yeah. Right now, he's probably doing this. And because he's probably doing that, I'm going to destroy his property in the most insane way possible.
Yeah. Anyway, but there are a few country songs I really do enjoy, such as anything by Johnny Cash. All right, moving on. Great question.
Such as On the Road Again.
Yeah, I like On the Road Again. That's a fine song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, what's the song about Live Like You Were Dying? I think it might be called Live Like You Were Dying.
Yes.
Okay, I like that song.
Yeah.
So there you go. There's a country song I like out of a field of songs I don't much care for.
There you go.
All right. Would you call that Lady Antebellum song a country song or no?
I mean, it's technically-ish country.
All right, so there's another one. There's another good example for you. Whatever that's called. Need You Now?
Yeah.
Something? Yeah, okay. And last question of the day. Alarin 612 is here again. I hope I'm in time for your next afterthought. I have something I'd love for you to watch for the first time while recording. Don't worry, it's only a few minutes, and it's, well, it's nothing you haven't heard before. Okay, we're going to cut to a clip real quick. Folks, go look to our fridge, because Alarin 612 took one of our old conversations from one of our old shows and set it to Legos.
Yes, it is an amazing video, and I love it so much.
It is the best. You guys need to go take a look at it. So by all means, just look at our fridge. He also sent out a YouTube link for us, so it's on YouTube. Get out there and leave it the standard array of YouTube comments, if you don't mind.
Yeah, the standard array. All of the racist and sexist things you can possibly think of.
Yeah, and ones that don't seem to make sense for this genre or like this video at all, like, I am 14, and this is the only kind of music I like. Not that Justin Bieber shit.
Yeah.
Just post some of those on there.
Please leave a video or comment that's also a video that just says, you know what I think is I like unboxing videos. This was terrible.
Am I the first one to post here since Prince died? R.I.P. Prince.
There you go.
Anyway, please go in there and ruin the comment feed on that YouTube with that sort of shit, and then thumbs up it to high hell, because it is amazing and absolutely deserving of it.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much, Alarin. That is amazing. All right, let's go. He says he included the Google Drive link, so thank you. Also, I have some questions for you. Which superheroes would you like to game with? What's the game? Who's the game master? Is it one of you or the heroes? And what's everyone playing? Okay, so John and I had some time to talk about this when we were hanging out at Kingdom Con.
Yep.
Just a couple of days ago, and we settled on something that I think is fabulous, and I feel like everyone would agree that it would be the right game to play.
Play a game of Mafia.
Mafia. Okay, we're going to do Mafia.
With the question.
Yeah. In fact, not just the question, but all the great detectives of comic book history.
Because you'd start off, and if it was just the question, he'd be like, all right, well, I know who everyone is. I know that you're in the Mafia. I know that you're the Godfather. I know you're all the townspeople, and I know you're the Jester. Get the fuck out, I'm leaving.
I also know that you recently switched from Marlboros to Galois cigarettes because I've been going through your garbage.
I've been preparing this my whole life.
However, if it's a full game of Mafia and it's The Question,
The Riddler,
Detective Chimp,
just Batman is in there,
Elongated Man,
just everyone who's like, oh, what do you do? My whole shtick is riddles. That's what I'm doing.
Riddles and detective stuff. I'd also want Constantine.
Yeah. Do all that. Have fucking, like, all of the crazy people that know how to do everything.
Yeah.
And then Professor X to just fuck with everyone.
Oh, just ruin the game.
Just to ruin the game. So everyone's like, oh, okay. Well, he said this, but then he twitched his eye to the left, which also means that he was thinking of something else. But what he was thinking of, and then meanwhile, Professor X is just like, I know everything already. It's too late. I've seen it all.
The Godfather is Detective Chimp. Also, here's a mental image of my butt.
Oh, don't do that. No, why?
I'm going to keep doing it.
Oh.
So there you go. Mafia.
Riddle me this, Xavier. Why do I like it?
Not you. You don't get any more Nigma.
Aw.
You get a mental image of your own butt.
No.
Oh, man. So there you go. That's the answer. Mafia with all the great detectives and riddle tellers of comic book history. Who's running the game? I don't know. Does Mafia actually have someone running it?
Usually you should have someone who runs it so they can say it's daytime, it's nighttime.
Okay. I don't know. I've never played Mafia. It just
there you go.
Like
and the
awesome.
Person running it is the Joker so that nothing gets done.
Everyone, close your eyes. Oop, I stabbed them while they had their eyes closed.
All right, Mafia, you have to kill someone during the day. Too late!
All right, there you go. And finally, also from him, I, too, am a huge Sentinels of the Multiverse fan. Who is your favorite hero to play in the card game? Which one is your favorite from a character or backstory perspective, if it's not the same one?
Well, the best one in the game is probably Knife. Knife just wrecks everyone's shit forever.
So you're just saying in terms of the most powerful character in the card game, you think is Knife? Who's your favorite to play, though? Is it Knife?
I like playing as Knife, but my favorite to play as is Absolute Zero, because Absolute Zero just kills himself and explodes for damage all the time.
Well, it just plays right into your high risk, high reward playstyle that you live your life by. You like the deck of many things, you're gonna like playing as Absolute Zero.
Oh yeah, Absolute Zero is like, I punch myself in the dick for 10, and then I punch you in the dick for 20.
Yeah, I think my favorite is probably the Sentinels themselves, the actual Sentinels.
Oh yeah, Sentinels are great.
They're really fun to play. It's an innovative mechanic. I was amazed they were able to make that work. I'd also say I'm really, really looking forward to Harpy. I feel like that's going to be an awesome new deck. I'm a huge fan of the pet characters, but they have been hit or miss so far, and I feel like she's really going to open it up.
Yeah.
So there you go. So,
and from a lore perspective, favorite one in there, probably going to be... Ugin's.
It's going to be Ugin's.
Yeah, Ugin's. Ugin's is my favorite.
Ugin's the Spirit Dragons.
I forgot Ugin was actually a thing. Damn right. It. Yeah.
All right.
My favorite is Ugin from Magic the Gathering.
I actually don't know enough about the lore in that game. I mean, in terms of character who's got a really interesting story that I'm fascinated by, I would definitely go with Skyscraper.
See, I was going to go with Captain Cosmic, their version of Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Because it's him and his brother as the evil versions of, like, Green Lantern and Sinestro.
Yeah, and I'm going to go with Skyscraper because I always pick aliens when given an opportunity.
Yeah.
It's just that easy. And Skyscraper is actually really neat. Her mix of being huge and punchy or building tiny robots is adorable.
Also, Haka. Haka is awesome.
Haka is awesome.
Because
yeah.
He's just like, he's kind of like the Hulk if the Hulk also was just friendly and had a good sense of humor about things.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much right. I like that a lot.
Like, Haka just runs around and beats the shit out of stuff, but he loves doing it. And he's like, ha-ha!
Yeah, I also like the Scholar.
Scholar's great because he's just
into
the dude.
World. He's just the dude. Also, he is broken. I'm just going to put that out there. He is just busted. He's one of my favorite characters to play as because he's busted.
Yeah.
All you have to do is be like, I'm Scholar. I will never take damage.
Lol.
What, everyone else died? It's fine. I'll finish this guy eventually.
I'll just sit here taking it in the face while everyone else helps me take cards.
I love him. So there you go. That's the answer to that question. All right. So that has been an entire episode of Afterthought.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening, and just a quick thank you to everyone who has been donating to the Patreon. We did finally reach our penultimate goal, which is we are now doing a Now in Theaters, and we have a poll up on the website so that you can decide what we're going to go see. Do you want us to go see Captain America and review it and let you know what an actual good superhero movie is? You could do that. You're not going to, though. You're going to vote for Angry Birds because you're a fucking asshole.
It's fine. Keep voting for Angry Birds. Unless you don't want us to go see Angry Birds, the movie, which is the current frontrunner, in which case you can go vote for whatever you want. You
like Mother's Day.
Yeah, Mother's Day. Make us watch another one of them Gary Marshall multi-celebrity trash films that are just awful.
Yeah. Have us watch a movie where, like, Julia Roberts made $4 million for a day of screen time.
I like to think, I watched one of those many, many years ago called Playing by Heart, and it had Gillian Anderson and Jon Stewart have a romantic scene together. And I was like, man, they are already running out of celebrities in these when they have to put fucking Jon Stewart in the movie. I mean, I love the guy, but he's not a good actor. That's not what he's famous for. But this one, they couldn't even get Jon Stewart. They had to settle with a lesser Daily Show alumni, so it's got Asif Mandvi in it. So it's just, they just keep moving down. The next episode's going to have Samantha Bee and then A. Whitney Brown. All right. So, that you can find that on our website under the Movies tab, the In Theaters Now button. It'll take you right to that poll so you can sign up for whatever it is you think we should have to go watch in a theater.
And you do get 3 votes, so you can vote for 3 things. If you can't make up your mind, just make sure one of those things isn't Angry Birds.
No, we don't care. Vote for Angry Birds. Make us go watch it. I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure we'll have a lot to say.
Yeah.
Or you might vote for something else. Who knows? In the meantime, you can find us, as always, at SystemMasteryPodcast.com, System Mastery on Gmail, Facebook, or Twitter. Send us all your questions for more Afterthoughts. Check out our actual shows, which are reviews of role-playing games, which you can catch that next week. You can also find our Movie Mastery, where we review old, terrible movies, and now new ones, too, because you guys are great. If you have any further Afterthought questions or any games you'd like us to review, just drop us a line via any one of those channels. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great / lovely week.